call to order the Astoria City Council meeting of July 18th, 2016. For those of you who were here for the work session, you know that we went overtime and still had no time for citizen input. So at this time, if you have input strictly on the affordable housing issue, we'll do that before we start our regular meeting. So if there's anyone here that wants to make any comments about affordable housing, if you'll come forward, give your name and your address. Yes.
Okay.
It's all taped, so we have to.
All right. Hi, I'll be quick. My name's Jennifer Cameron Lotek, and my husband Misha and I own Street 14 Cafe on 14th Commercial. And I just want to kind of encourage and thank the council for addressing this issue and encourage you guys to continue having a conversation. It's something that's very important to us. I'd just like to say something briefly about our experience and the experience of our employees, so that's a lot of who's being addressed by this. I know that that's kind of, I think the growth industry in Astoria right now is tourism, and that does mean lower wage jobs. The staff that we have are certainly affected by this. We hear a lot that they're having problems finding housing they can afford, and there are, you know, I don't know the solution. I'm excited to kind of, you know, hear different ideas and for kind of us as a community to figure out what we can do. The point that I just wanted to make, just for illustration, that the idea of what costs are and what wages mean, for us, we pay our employees as much as we possibly can, and we appreciate everybody giving as much tips as they do to our employees, because that really goes a long way to their being able to afford, you know, a life that's comfortable. But I'd also like to, if we're talking about the market and market forces, point out the other side of that, that sometimes it means we need to, you know, charge $2.50 or $5 for a cup of coffee. And that if we want all of these things, that we need to understand that prices are gonna go up, and, you know, that's the value that we're paying for. That what we're paying for is then good wages for our, you know, for our local community when our prices need to go up. And I just wanted to make sure everybody, you know, recognizes that part of the reality too.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. We'll close the public hearing then, or the comments, and open the Astoria City Council. So before we have a roll call, I'd like to have a moment of silence for all the killings that we have had in our country recently. It's, I know, for all of us, very sad, makes us angry, makes us frustrated, a lot of feelings, and so let's just take a moment of quiet. Thank you. Roll call. Chief Johnston?
Councilor Nemphoel?
Here.
Councilor Ward?
Here.
Councilor Erzy?
Here.
Councilor Price?
Here.
Mayor LaMere?
Here. Reports of councilors. Councilor Ward?
No report.
Councilor Price?
Well, like many of you, I spent most of the time the past couple of weeks searching for words and for meaning in all the really shocking events that have happened in Baton Rouge and Dallas and Nice and St. Paul, and I'm just very grateful to have found some grace in conversations with family and with friends and colleagues here. And elsewhere here in our peaceful little peninsula. And I thank all of you who step up to become a part of community, to, even though we have a diversity of views, to help us find commonality and threads and all of that. And I thank Chief Johnston for having a terrific social media prominence that speaks to the community both there and then in other ways personally throughout the community, and I'm just grateful for that, and thank you.
Councilor Greasy?
I'd like to cede my time to you, Mayor Lemire, because you've got something important tonight. Thank you.
Councilor Gamble?
Well, there's a lot of heavy things happening, and when I came to the council meeting tonight, I saw people assembled at the Garden of Surging Waves more than I've ever seen, and I thought, is there going to be a protest or a rally for something? And I went and talked to a few people that I knew, and they were there because they were taking part in Pokemon Go. And they said that the Garden of Surging Waves is a Pokemon hotspot. There are Pokemon everywhere. And that is my report.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to announce that I am appointing Michelle Tompkins to the Parks and Recreation Board. Michelle is here this evening. She's had extensive experience in administrating or working on management with libraries, recreation, and parks. So I think she will be a wonderful addition to the Parks Board. Michelle, would you like to stand? And this next is something I've been thinking about for a long time, and so I'd just like to read it because I hope I can make it through. These days, I think all of us dread picking up a newspaper or turning on a news broadcast to find out that there's been another mass killing and an ever-increasing number of victims of gun violence. The horror, sadness, fear, and feeling of helplessness are human reactions to what seems incomprehensible. It doesn't matter if you are for gun rights or for stricter gun controls. As human beings, we share these feelings of horror, sadness, fear, and helplessness. Would a gun resolution make any difference? Do letters to the editor and posts on social media help address the problem? I don't know, but I do know that I must do something. We must do something to put a stop to this madness. I've written a letter to our congressional delegation, which I'm planning to post as a large ad in the Daily Historian. I'm paying for this as a private citizen. If you would like to sign the letter, I have sheets for you to sign giving permission to add your name to the letter to be published in the Daily Historian. I have lots of these. Here is the letter. Honorable Governor Kate Brown, Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, Congressional Representatives Suzanne Bonamici, Greg Walden, Ed Blumenauer, Earl Blumenauer, Peter DeFazio, and Kurt Schrader. The city of Astoria joins with other communities in mourning the losses from mass killings around our country. But thoughts and prayers are no longer enough. We must act to put an end to this madness that is eroding our sense of safety, our sense of community, our sense of pride in being an American. The Astorians and those from neighboring communities who have signed this letter support the rights of individuals to own firearms for hunting and for their own protection, but urge you to work diligently to ban high-capacity magazines and assault weapons, make it illegal for someone on a no-fly list to obtain a weapon, to approve universal background checks, and to make funding for mental health services a national priority. Thank you for all your efforts to make our communities and our state a safe place to live and raise our children and grandchildren. Sincerely, Arlene Lemire, Mayor, City of Astoria. So if you have any interest in signing this at the end of the meeting, I have petitions up here. If you would like to take a petition and have it signed somewhere by people who also feel that this gun violence is has got to be stopped. Please come up after the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn Mayor, for making that brave statement. We really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
First of all, in new business, or do we have changes to the agenda?
Yes, there are two changes to the agenda. I'd like to propose that we add an item 7F, which is the McClure Park grant resolution. We've applied for a grant which council has authorized, and the grant provider requires that the city council pass a resolution for it to become a valid request. So we'd like to be able to add that. And then next would be authorization to submit a request for qualifications for building code and code enforcement services. Community Development Director Kevin Cronin will address that item as well. That's a 7G.
7G. Okay, we have a proclamation this evening. Whereas the Doughboy Monument, also known as the Astoria Victory Monument and Soldiers Monument, was constructed in Astoria, Oregon in 1926. And whereas the memorial was a project led by the Clatsop Post of the American Legion during the sesquicentennial of the American Revolution to honor the World War I soldiers from Clatsop County. And whereas a bronze cast statue entitled Doughboy Over the Top at Except continue. My French is lousy.
Yes.
Okay. Depicting America's first victory in World War I was created by American sculptor John Paulding and is mounted on top of a concrete Spanish Revival monument designed by Charles T. Diamond. And whereas the location of the monument was chosen because it was the focal business and cultural intersection of Uniontown. And whereas the monument was dedicated on July 21st, 1926 in the city of Astoria and will be rededicated upon its 90th anniversary occurring on July 21st, 2016. And whereas the structure was recognized individually by the National Register of Historic Places on November 15th, 1984 and as part of the Uniontown Alameda Historic District on August 25th, 1988. Now, therefore, I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of Astoria, do hereby proclaim July 21st, 2016 as the 90th anniversary and rededication of the Doughboy Monument and invite all citizens to join in the celebration that will be held on Saturday, July 23rd, 2016 at 3 p.m. at the Doughboy Monument. So, it's interesting that both the Doughboy Monument and the Astoria Column are celebrating their 90th birthday this year. It's quite the year. And our bridge is celebrating its 50th. So it's a year of birthdays. The next item on our agenda is the consent calendar, and as you know, we usually pass this just by a motion unless there's someone who wants to remove an item. Does anyone from the public ask for an item to be removed?
No one from the public, but I believe that there may be some council requests this evening.
Okay. Council?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm requesting items 6D and 6E be removed, please.
Anyone else? Could we have a motion then to approve items 6A, B, C, and F?
So moved.
Second.
Chief Ames.
Councilor Orr.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Councilor Nemuwa.
Aye.
Councilor Herzig.
Aye.
Mayor Lemire.
Aye. Okay, item 6D, promote Astoria funds used by the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And both item 6D and 6E, because these are city contracts grants, the city's non-discrimination policy is involved. And in both of them, the phrase gender identity / expression became gender identity capital I expression. So it's a typo. I refer to that can be fixed. But I'd really like the council to consider changing that gender identity / expression with the more common usage gender identity and expression, so that we don't keep running into this thing. So the city manager told me that have to be a council action kind of thing, but I would like to see the city's non-discrimination policy change the phrase gender identity slash expression to gender identity and expression, both to come into compliance with normal usage and to make it easier for people to transcribe.
Can we just do that by saying fine?
No, there would need to be a vote of the city council to take that action. If I recall correctly, there was quite a bit of discussion at that time when the policy was created with regards to this phraseology, and if you wanted to add that to a future council agenda, we can definitely do that.
Well, I'd like to add it to tonight. It won't take that much time. Can we make that 7H?
That's fine with me. I just didn't take care of it tonight, unless there's some reason why we can't.
You can do it tonight?
Okay, do it tonight.
So the other item, specifically 6D, is the promote Astoria funds going to the Chamber of Commerce. And I felt I had to call this out because this is one of our most controversial funding things. A number of the budget committee felt that the chamber is not fully in compliance with the contract of the city. So I wanted the council to have to take a public vote on this. And I apologize for that, but I felt it was very important. So I would move that the council accept item consent calendar item 6E, promote Astoria funds going to the ADHDA.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, and item D?
Then do we need a separate motion just to, or how would we do that?
I don't know.
So there would need to be a separate motion for the consent agenda items, because there's still one item remaining.
Okay, then I move that we accept item 6D, the promote Astoria funds going to the Astoria Warrenton Chamber of Commerce.
Second.
You're saying do accept it?
I'm making that motion, yes.
Okay.
That's how a motion has to be.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, under our regular agenda items, the first item is an ordinance adopting the Astoria Comprehensive Plan to include the Parks and Recreation Comprehensive Plan for Parks Master Plan.
So the City Council held a public hearing and completed the first reading of the proposed Parks and Rec Master Plan ordinance during your last meeting on July 5th. Tonight it's recommended that the Council conduct a second reading and adopt the ordinance as recommended by the Parks and Rec Master Plan Citizen Advisory Committee, the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, and the Astoria Planning Commission.
Anyone want to make a motion?
I move that we conduct a second meeting of the Parks Master Plan.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ms. Brooks?
An ordinance amending the Astoria Comprehensive Plan section pertaining to background plan and studies in parks, recreation, and open space settings.
We need a motion to adopt.
Now we need a motion to adopt, yeah.
Move to adopt.
Second. All those in favor?
And I just for the record, I would note that the motion would need to be moved to adopt the ordinance with the findings and conclusions contained in the staff report.
Well said.
if you would amend your motion to include that statement.
I would amend my motion to include that statement.
I'd still second it.
All those in favor?
We have some discussion, please.
Oh, sure.
I support this. It's a lot of work has gone into this. We really need this master plan. I know a number of citizens are concerned about the potential of the city selling park properties. I think it's going to be up to the citizens to be vigilant about that, to make sure that if that goes forward, that they have complete input and there's full transparency. I don't think we can hold up adopting this, the amount of work that went into this, for that concern. But it is a legitimate concern, and I encourage the citizens of the story to keep on top of that. So thank you, Mayor.
This next item on the agenda.
We have to have a roll call vote.
We Ms. Cosby, roll call.
Counselor Nemuel.
Aye.
Counselor Herzig.
Aye.
Counselor Price.
Aye.
Counselor Ward.
Aye.
Mayor Lemire.
Aye. The city council's ruling may be appealed by any person withstanding by filing a notice of intent to appeal.
Sorry, we celebrated, Mayor, I'm so sorry, we celebrated them, so.
By filing a notice of intent to appeal with the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBO, within 21 days after the city council has made its decision. If an appeal is not filed with LUBO within the 21-day period, the decision of the city council shall be final. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the trestle and track inspection maintenance. Public Works.
So the city of Astoria has approximately 4.7 miles of railroad track and eight timber trestles, which were formerly owned by the Burlington Northern Railroad. And those run from the Port of Astoria to the west to Tongue Point to the east of the University Limits along the Columbia River. The Astoria Riverfront Trolley currently operates on approximately 3 miles of this track. The city has the trestles inspected each year to ensure that the trestles can safely accommodate river trail use as well as the operation of the trolley. And we've conducted maintenance of those trestles over the years. Last fiscal year, the council authorized an inspection contract with a consulting firm named OBEC, O-B-E-C, for the trestles and the track. And the purpose was to provide the city with information needed to manage and maintain the proper trolley operation as well as to plan for future funding needs. We've received that report back from OBEC, and there was a special city council meeting about a week and a half ago where there was a focus on needed repairs for the street ends at 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th streets downtown, and how there was a time frame that ODOT had provided to do that work by August of this year. And the city council had authorized staff to move forward on the design contract to do to determine what is needed for those repairs. What we're talking about tonight is the trestles in between the street ends and throughout that whole network, and the need for additional repairs to be able to keep the Riverwalk and the trolley operating into the future. I'm going to ask our assistant city engineer, Nathan Crater, to come forward and be able to talk a little bit more about this issue.
Thank you, Brett. Again, Nathan Crater, assistant city engineer. The report that OBEC provided the city basically had a lot of data included in it, but they summarized it pretty well by providing repair recommendations in two different categories. The first category was immediate repair needs. Those are repairs that, after talking with them, are really critical to be made prior to the 2017 trolley operational season. And then annual maintenance repairs, those are repairs that they anticipate needing to happen yearly after that point to maintain service of the trolley and a working river trail. They looked at a 10-year period for the annual repairs, but that could extend beyond that point. That was just kind of a window that they targeted when they were coming up with repair recommendations and then also planning level cost estimates. So that was the other element of the report, was to provide staff feedback with the type of funding that was going to be necessary to, you know, make these repairs and then continue these repairs into the future. And that was summarized in table one of the memo, which I can kind of consolidate a little further because it is a little confusing. So basically, the table that was provided in the memo divides the repairs up into maintenance needed west of 39th Street and then east of 39th Street. And the reason why that's important is because the active trolley line is west of 39th Street with the trestles and structures east of 39th Street, primarily tied to river trail use, and then also service vehicles. Sometimes we need to use that for like river bank stabilization, things like that. So boiling those down to two numbers, the immediate repair needs came in at about $569,000. And those are repairs that would be needed prior to next, say, March 1st, 2017, when we probably start operation again. Again, we're talking about the whole network here, from Portway all the way out to the lagoons. The annual maintenance needs came in at about $519,500, again, looking at the whole network. So what staff did was take this information and looked into several different repair options moving forward, because we all know how important the trolley is and the river trail is to Astoria, so we're trying to find the best option to get us in a cost-effective, workable condition. So basically, we considered option one, which was, I call it the do-nothing option. It's a minimalistic approach. It would be taking a very minimum dollar amount to kind of keep the river trail open, but not necessarily making some more expensive repairs needed for the trolley. Obviously, that's detrimental to the trolley operation. It wouldn't be possible anymore. And that's the primary reason why we do not recommend moving forward with that option. The other negative piece of that is that eventually those trusses would become a liability if they were maintained for use of that, for the use of the trolley. Option two is the opposite of that. That was kind of the do-everything approach, do all the recommendations in the report. That is a great option, especially from my standpoint, but money doesn't grow on trees, and that's a very expensive option. So then we moved on to a third approach, which is kind of a hybrid approach. So what we did there is looked at the needed repairs west of 39th Street, targeting just the trolley trestles, with kind of the full repair recommendations west of 39th. And then east of 39th, we would look at doing minimal repairs to keep the river walk in a safe operational condition. Looking at the kind of the cost breakdown of that, it came out to be about $319,500. So that would be the cost of the immediate repairs needed for that hybrid approach prior to March 1st, 2017. We looked into funding options for that, and Brett, did you want me to kind of go over that sure. as well? So basically, trying to look for a viable pot of money that we could use for that work. And again, we're talking about those immediate repairs right now. And it looks like the Capital Improvement Fund would have the ability to fund those repairs, at least for this time around. When we talk about the annual repairs, that's something that might require a broader discussion. We're going to need to look at kind of a sustainable approach to that, and potentially partnering with the Trolley Association to come up with some of those funds as we look for something that we can kind of split into annual maintenance projects. So, and the purpose of, this memo and this item was to present the results of this report, but also to get us to that next step. And what we're recommending here is that if council thinks that the hybrid approach is kind of a prudent way to go, the next step in that approach would be to authorize a contingency task with OBEC to complete the as-built drawings for the network. And that'll provide city staff with kind of the basis to start moving forward with a repair project to, again, address those immediate repairs. Is that, hopefully I didn't confuse everybody, because it's pretty complicated.
Has the state given us any more flexibility with the August 1 date?
So I think City Engineer Jeff Harrington has been working on that project, and it sounds like the approach that was kind of talked about and delineated at a special council meeting with doing some inspections underneath to give us some extra time is going to be a viable approach. I haven't received something in writing formally on that, but it's looking like they're going to work with us on kind of an alternate way to get that implemented without disrupting trolley and river trail operation.
And this may be repeating the questions, but will this hybrid approach satisfy ODOT's requirements for safety on the trestles?
So the answer to that is yes. ODOT does not actively regulate the structures on there. ODOT Rail will ask for this report. This is more of the city and the Public Works Department doing due diligence. We're given a little more flexibility with the repair approach and the timeline on this particular project, again, because it's not regulated strictly by ODOT. And again, that's with respect to the trestles. ODOT Rail does regulate trolley operation, but we have a little more flexibility when it comes comes to coming up with creative ways to tackle this, I guess.
And that the hybrid approach will be sufficient, that the funding will still come through for the trestle repair, the bridge and repair project, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
So the hybrid approach is not going to derail any of the things that you've been working on for months to keep going?
So the street end project would be, is going to be happening prior to the trestle project. So as we move through that project, we will get actual numbers and then be able to go back and look at the available funding. The other thing that we don't really have is a really solid information on the actual trestle repair, a larger scale repair. We've done smaller $50,000 to $75,000 jobs in the past, but this is tackling certain members that haven't been touched in a while. So kind of look at this as our chance to get real numbers back, and that'll actually help inform, you know, the actual costs of that annual maintenance repair. And obviously, we hope that comes down. But the more we move forward with this, the better information we get, the tighter we can target funding.
Thank you.
Councilor Price?
Well, and unlike the immediate repairs that we're making on the street ends now, the immediate repairs on the trestle can be made before the trolley begins operating next year. So it would be less disruptive, hopefully. I see your fingers crossed.
Yes.
Excuse me, just one other question. On the sustainable method of funding, that's something that staff will be looking into and coming back to council.
Right, I mean, there would be some discussions as to, with regards to the needed yearly repairs, having the conversations with the Trolley Association about participating somehow in that, looking at Promote Astoria funds and, you know, other funding revenues as well.
It's very interesting that ODOT inspected our street ends and our waterfront bridges and said that we needed to make immediate repairs, and that the city has conducted its own study on the trestles that also found that we needed to make costly immediate repairs. It's unfortunate and ironic. How much more are the projected annual maintenance costs? How much higher are those than what we have budgeted?
So so if we went with the hybrid approach, like I said, kind of piecing that table out to look at that, how much that approach would cost annually, we're looking at about $276,000. So currently we have about $100,000 budgeted, I believe, in Promote Astoria for, we call it probably trestle line item. It also covers track maintenance and things of that nature. That's just been kind of a recent addition in there as we are kind of working up to this. And so last year we spent maybe a little bit more than that, but it's maybe almost on the order of magnitude of 3 times more.
It's like $400,000 more than we have budgeted. In annual maintenance costs, is that correct?
So
if it's $519,500?
If we did everything. So if we move forward with annual maintenance, looking at this hybrid approach where we focus all the resources west of 39th and then try to basically make minimal repairs east of 39th, that comes down substantially. That would come down to about $276,000 a year.
So you're saying we need to come up with on the order of 300 grand a year for annual maintenance, the trestles?
Yes, if you round up, yeah.
Okay.
That's about that.
And
again, that's a planning level estimate, and so that could change. You know, like I said, we hope it goes down as we get better information, but it does have the potential of going the other direction.
Okay. Well, our city manager and finance director are extremely good at figuring out solutions to these difficult problems, but my initial reaction was, in the budget hearings that we've had, the item that we've spent the most amount of time discussing is the Promote Astoria funds. And if we could streamline those funds to uphold our Riverwalk and trolley, you know, it seems like a really great use of funds. I think the Chamber and Lower Columbia Tourism Committee is doing a great measurable job Director Skip Hockey is here tonight. He said that visitor spending in Astoria is going to be $100,000. $100 million this year. Did I get that right, Skip?
Hey.
So I'm not suggesting taking any money from the Chamber or Lower Columbia Tourism Committee. That's a separate discussion, but I think they should get a percentage of lodging taxes. But if we could streamline the fragmented funds and promote Astoria and use that for riverwalk maintenance, meaning the trestles that hold them up, possibly going as far as trash collection and lawn mowing, which we've included some of that in Promote Astoria Fund. That was my initial reaction. And I trust our expert staff to review all of the options and come back to us. That those were my initial thoughts.
Any other comments or questions for Nathan? So
what we're asking for tonight is proceeding with the concept of the hybrid repair approaches as Nathan had outlined. And if there's concurrence with that approach, that the council authorize contract amendment to start developing the computer-aided design drawings, which will start moving us forward to better developing firmer cost estimates to be able to start moving forward with determining a better figure for what these repairs are going to be, and then coming back to you at a later time with the actual proposal for work.
Can that be one motion, or do you want to
It would be just a motion to proceed with the hybrid repair approach and authorize contract amendment number two with OBEC.
I move that the council direct staff to proceed with the hybrid repair approach for the Trolley River Trail trestles and associated infrastructure, and authorize contract amendment number two for the trolley trestle CAD drawings in the amount of $17,778.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And thank you for all the work that's gone into that, because that's been a tremendous amount of work, and really appreciate it.
Nathan is running to try and catch the last bus out of Astoria.
Okay, the next item is a liquor license application from Joshua Allison.
So this liquor license for Reach Break Brewing has been filed, and this is a new outlet for a brewery public house license. The site is located at 1343 Duane Street, at the corner of 13th and Duane. Departments have reviewed the application and no objections were noted. It's recommended that council consider this application this evening.
Do we have a motion, or is there a discussion?
Well, I would just say I hope that anyone has had a chance to drive by there and see what tremendous improvements have been made to that property. I think it's really beautiful. I look forward to what is going to go on there. And so for that and other reasons, I recommend we consider the application. We approve the application.
And I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest. My husband owns a brewer in the vicinity of this new brewery, Cervecia Gratis, doing business as Fort George Brewery. But I don't believe that it is a direct conflict. Unless the city manager advises, I will vote on this. Just wanted to declare that potential.
I don't think it's a
Did I say city manager? Yeah. City attorney. Sorry.
I was looking at Brett.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
We have a second liquor license application. This is from Charles Holbrook. That's Charlie's Chop House.
And again, this liquor application is for Charlie's Chop House. This is for a new outlet for a full on-premise sales commercial establishment license. It's located at 1313 Marine Drive, and this was formerly Hazel's Tavern. Departments have reviewed the application, and no objections were noted, and it's recommended that council consider this application.
I'd like to mention that in both this and the previous application, the applicants made the same error. This form is not clear. There's a line that says entity or individuals applying for the license, and each time they've put their own individual name, and they've had to scratch it out and put the name of the business. So I'm hoping that the Oils LLC will someday clarify this, because we keep seeing the same mistake they were doing.
And I would like to declare another conflict of interest, a direct conflict of interest this time, and not vote on this matter, because my husband, who owns brewery, Cervecia Gratis, doing business as Fort George Brewery, the ethics trainers tell you to say all this, okay? the applicant is a current client of Fort George, and so by opening up a new location, this indeed probably would affect my family financially, so I won't vote.
Okay, do we have a motion?
I move the council accept that application.
Is there a second?
Oh, I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And our last item of regular business, the city of Astoria has been a Coast Guard city, and we need a recertification application. It has to happen every 5 years.
And so, as the mayor stated, we were designated a Coast Guard city by the federal government on May 1st, 2011. And it's time for us to resubmit a new recertification letter to be able to continue to have that designation. Tonight it's recommended that council adopt the resolution included in the packet, which supports the recertification application in order to retain the city of Astoria Coast Guard city status.
I want to say I gave up my lap lane twice last week for the Coast Guard training, and I said, it's okay, it's for a good cause. It's really great to have them here, and if it's okay with you, Mayor, I would move that the council adopt a resolution supporting the recertification application in order for Astoria to retain its status as a Coast Guard city.
And I'll second that. Again, the city has benefited so much by the Coast Guard presence, both on active service and those who retired and choose to live here, so I wholeheartedly second that motion.
Okay, thank you. We need a roll call on this. Mr. Cronin.
Councilor Nemelo.
Aye.
Councilor Herzig.
Aye.
Councilor War.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Mayor Lemire.
Aye. Okay, we have an added item on the McClure Parks grant resolution.
And I want to ask our Parks Director, Angela Cosby, to come forward and provide a brief bit of information with regards to this issue. And at the dais, there should be a copy of the resolution to be able to address this issue.
So going back at your May 2nd meeting, council gave us authorization to apply for an Oregon Parks and Recreation Small Communities Planning Grant, which we did go ahead and apply for. We've kind of moved to the next step at this point, and they have asked for a resolution giving authorization and the 40% match. And all of this information was given to you at the second meeting, the first meeting in May. The grant is actually for helping to implement some of the first phases of the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, which you finished tonight. And it would involve a site plan for Shively Park, which was ranked number one as far as site plans, and then McClure Park, those two sites. In total, our 40% match, $16,000 would be in cash, which is planned out and budgeted in the $155,000 that's budgeted in the capital improvement funds going to implement the Parks and Recreation Master Plan. And then $11,000 of it is in-kind staff time from the Parks and Recreation Department staff. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have, but this is procedural, getting your authorization to move forward.
Well, just thank you, Angela, and everyone who's worked on this. You know, I live 12th and Jerome, and so I've been up and down 8th Street 10 million times in 20 years, and just the first 9 million times, I was just basically trying to get up the hill without going backwards on 8th, right? And just never knew about this park. And then the neighborhood adopted it, and it became very prominent in the park's master plan, and I've spent a lot of time there. I think it's a really wonderful spot, and if you haven't been there, go check it out. The movie nights there, when you can sit up there and overlook the lights of the city and the ship traffic going by and the twilight at night and other things. It's just, and this slide that's coming up, it's a wonderful neighborhood park, and I'd be delighted to move that we approve this resolution.
Second. Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there a second?
Was that a motion? If so, I'll second.
Yes.
It's well seconded.
Okay.
This also calls for a roll call. Mr. Cook.
Councilor Demoiselle.
Aye.
Councilor Herzig.
Aye.
Councilor Ward.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Mayor LaMere.
Aye. Thank you. And our last item then is the authorization to submit an RFQ for building code services.
You have a memo which was provided to you up at your dais, and the Community Development Department has been working to hire a new code enforcement officer, building official, and there were interviews which were conducted last week, and none of those interviews have proven to provide someone who we feel would be able to serve the city in this capacity. And to be able to move forward, we are looking for the ability to have potentially a contractor in place that would provide more consistent long-term services over time. I'm going to let our Community Development Director, Kevin Cronin, discuss this proposed RFQ to look at getting a firm in place to be able to provide these services and what we'll be looking for in terms of its flexibility and its the design to be able to have potentially interim code provisions and long-term if it's served well.
Thanks, Brett. Yes, so at your May 2nd meeting also, you had approved a contract with the Building Department LLC. That contract expires at the end of the month. So the idea was that it was gonna buy us time to be able to recruit for this new building official slash code enforcement officer position. As Brett described, the candidates that we interviewed are not gonna work for us. So it's forcing us to make a decision in terms of how services are gonna be provided in the Building Department. So I am asking council to authorize a procurement process to hire a third-party consultant. The idea is to either do an interim or permanent basis, depending on what kind of proposals we get back. We can also leave the building official slash code enforcement officer position open until filled. So if we do get a qualified candidate in the door, we can continue with that process. The market for building officials right now is extremely tight. So one of the things I'm going to be looking at is increasing the salary for that in order to get more competitive. That's for another day. But for tonight, I need council authorization to move forward with a procurement process. Those proposals will be due next week. And then for August 1st, I would bring back a contract for authorization so there would be no slippage in services being provided to our citizens.
I would note one of the things that is added to the scope of services above and beyond what's provided now is code enforcement. Right now, our Community Development Department staff, Kevin and Nancy, who's sitting in the back, have been dealing with code enforcement, but we're needing some additional assistance, and this would be a part of the scope of work.
Mr. City Manager, are there any other options that have been explored, such as, you know, the ability, since we weren't able to hire anybody, to go back to working with the county building official and potentially separating the position? I'm not sure what the job requirements are of a building official and a code enforcement officer, but, you know, is it true that a building official would be tougher to hire and need more background in education?
So, I mean, it's, the issue is, as Mr. Cronin indicated, with hiring an official has been salary. I believe that the county's building official earns roughly $25,000 to $30,000 more a year than what our salary range is. And the issue is, what do we charge for building permits? And there, if we were to look at utilizing the county, that's something that, you know, we would be able to be looking at as we move forward, you know, with this proposal.
Yeah, I'll just interrupt you really quick here. The county's actually interested in providing the service like they were before.
Okay.
So they can submit. They're like any other contractor that has provided a competitive proposal back to us. And then based on those proposals that we get, we'll give you the best deal, hopefully.
Well, I think it would be the ideal scenario to have one person in-house providing these services, you know, which you've been attempting to do. The county building official that we were working with seemed to be well-liked by the business community. And if it means paying a little bit higher rates for building permits to have somebody that the business community can work with, might be worth it.
Well, what we would need to do in that case is, if the county was not willing to provide the code enforcement services, we would need to be able to carve out some money from the general fund to be able to do that. That's the flip side as well, is trying to find someone to be able to serve as code enforcement officer.
Is the motion before us going to give the city staff the leeway to explore all those options?
So it would be authorizing the issuance of the request for qualifications is what we're looking for tonight.
But my question was, if we decide that we do can work with the county and hire that, do you need separate action to carve out
no,
a separate?
No.
Okay, thank you. That was my question. I would move to authorize the procurement of a contract for building code services if there's no more discussion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. And then 7H is yours.
Yes, I would like to move that the city amend the non-discrimination policy language from the phrase gender identity / expression to gender identity and expression.
Second.
Could I ask the city attorney if there's any issue for us to approve an and versus a slash? Should I be concerned with that, or is that
it's your policy, you can say virtually anything you want to.
Okay, I'm okay with the and instead of the slash. I don't see what the big deal is, but I can support you in this. I don't see any reason not to.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We also have a letter that is addressed to the Friends of the Astoria column, and it reads, "Dear friends, on the eve of the 90th anniversary of the Astoria column, we are writing to thank you once again for the magnificent restoration accomplished by Marie Levinas and her team last summer. We deeply appreciate your contributions of both time and money to ensure that this shining beacon, the symbol of Astoria and part of the region's rich history, shines on well into the next century. Thanks again for all you have done. Warm regards, the Astoria City Council." And I want to thank Councilor Price for developing this letter. I think it's a really important one. The Friends have put in a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy, and so I think it's well overdue. So just wanted to let you know that letter would be going out. I think that's all of our regular.
Public?
Yes, I'm going to now open it to public comment. So if you would like to come up and speak, please remember that we do everything on a tape recorder, so no one's taking notes. If you come up, give your name and your address, and if you'll limit your comments to 3 minutes, please. Anyone like to speak? Okay.
Hello, my name is Veronica Montoya. I live at 324 38th Street, Astoria, Oregon. I've been a resident here for about 3.5 years. The reason I'm up here, once again, is our sea lions. With us talking about the growth industry being tourism, I spend a lot of time out on those docks taking pictures and documenting our sea lions daily. And I speak to many people that come into our town. And the tourists absolutely love our animals. What they don't love is when Pacific Marine Fisheries is trapping and branding these animals in our basin in front of all our tourist guests. Last year, they decapitated one of the sea lions in front of our cruise ship guests. I just don't think that this is a very good thing for our tourists to have to witness. And I'm wondering how much money the Port of Astoria makes renting this space out so that Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife can trap our sea lions in the middle of our town. When these animals are getting trapped and burned, and when they do that, when they brand these animals, they brand approximately 30 to 50 animals a day. When this is happening, these animals are in distress for a couple of days afterwards. So that ends up causing everybody that lives from Alderbrook all the way to the museum having to, you know, listen and witness to these animals crying and being in a lot of pain. And it just doesn't seem fair to me that our whole city has to suffer because, well, probably about half of our city anyway that hears the sea lions barking has to suffer because of this small amount of money that the port makes by renting this little space out. I just don't think it's good for our city to have this right in the heart of our city. And with the sea lions being such a huge attraction to all our tourists, I just wonder if there's something that we can do to encourage the port to maybe stop this practice in the middle of our city and let them do it up at the Bonneville Dam where they trap them and kill them rather than doing this right in the middle of our city. They do not have to be here doing this. So, anyway, if anybody has any questions or anything, I don't think anybody spends more time with these animals than I do, and I can say I have hours and hours of videotape where these animals are being perfectly quiet until Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife shows up in the morning scaring them off the docks, trying to fill their traps full of animals so they can brand them. So I'm just wondering if we can do something about that. It's not good. Our tourists don't like it, I can tell you that. And it's excruciatingly painful for these animals. So
thank you. Very complex.
Right, I understand, I know that, yeah, but it's also important for all our guests to enjoy their visit here. So,
thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Has the city ever asked the port about this? Because, I'm of two minds about this. I've seen this, I've seen your videos, I've seen it happen. It's gut-wrenching and horrible. I mean, it's just horrible. On the other hand, it's port property, their port docks, the amount of damage that has been done to their docks there and the amount of damage that continues even when the sea lions aren't there because no one will come in there because really when they come back isn't known, and also they've just screwed it up so bad. It's a terrible waste of a tremendous asset that we have here in the middle of town that we can't use. So I really am not willing to give up port property for the sea lions. But I just wanted to ask, have we ever had a conversation, the city ever had a conversation with Port about the possibility of doing this elsewhere? I don't know how inconvenient and impossible that would be.
I'm trying to recall if that was a topic of discussion at the joint city council port commission meeting. I don't think it was.
Yeah.
Cindy, we have brought ideas to them. One in particular would work fantastic. And we have asked the port, you know, all they have to do is charge a dollar a donation per person that comes out to see these animals. More than, you know, people are more than willing to do that. And we have up to 3,000 people a day coming to see these animals.
Well, I really don't want to continue that conversation here tonight. But and also, again, I think that, you know, charging money to get the sea lions in to continue to make the East Mooring Basin uninhabitable for what it's intended to be, which is boats, is not the way to go either. So I would just, I'll just have a conversation with staff about this afterwards. But thank you again.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, thank you all for coming. We appreciate it.